Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
We are beginning our a three-part series today, looking at these Beatitudes. So we're just simply calling this series Blessed. This is a series designed to kind of look at the first few verses of what's been known as the Sermon on the Mount, and it begins with this season of Thanksgiving. I know with the snow yesterday, some of you thought we were ready for Christmas, but let's not blow through this season of gratitude, okay? This is a season of Thanksgiving, and we wanted to spend these 3 weeks of November just kind of doing this together. So what we're going to do each of the 3 weeks is we're going to begin by reciting and reading all of the Beatitudes together. So these will appear on the screen. I'm going to skip a slide there, Trevor. We're going to just ask you to read these together as kind of a reminder of what all of these Beatitudes said. We're only going to focus throughout the series on three of them, but I want us just to kind of hear all of them each week. So let's read these words together, shall we? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they who are before you. Have you ever met someone that was just seemed to be the complete opposite of you? I mean, everything, any kind of conversation, it just felt like they were the complete opposite of you. You say up, and they say down. You say black, they say, you say go blue, I you. You say vote blue, they say vote red. I mean, it seems like at some point it's a conspiracy against you, right? That they just want to do whatever it takes to get under your skin, they'll just say the exact opposite. Now, how many of you married that person? Do not raise your hands. Matthew placed at the very beginning of his gospel narrative this great sermon of Jesus, known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in these words, we see that Matthew placed a very high priority in all of his gospel narrative. As a matter of fact, from what we understand, it's likely that Matthew didn't just write his gospel based on the chronological order of what Jesus accomplished in his ministry, but that he kind of grouped things and organized things according to importance. And so we have the birth narrative at the beginning, and then we see just a little bit of some healing taking place. And as you would chronologically try to align all four of the gospels, you would see that many things had already taken place in the process of Jesus' ministry. But what we see at the very beginning of this sermon, as Matthew recorded it, was Jesus trying to correct some of the errors of people's theology that they had kind of assumed over the past few centuries. In fact, so it's not Jesus trying to change the way you would score the game, for the sake of saying it that way. In fact, Jesus is trying to draw people back to an understanding of the original intent of Moses' law. At the same time, he's raising the banner of their holiness, raising the banner of their expectations. It's possible that this teaching, not the Beatitudes, but the entire sermon, took place over several days. We don't know this for sure, but it's very probable, because this was certainly a long oration for a teacher of their day. And we don't know if he was just teaching the disciples and some of the crowd overheard, or if his intent was to speak to this large crowd. But what we do know is that Jesus sat down at this beautiful, natural-made amphitheater, and he began to teach, and he began to talk about the things that were most important for his day. So, again, in aligning all of these gospel narratives, we can see that Jesus has already healed a government official's son. That's pretty shocking that would take place. That's recorded in John chapter 4. He's already healed Peter's mother-in-law, which Matthew records in the 8th chapter, but we can see through, the alignment of the gospel narratives that this likely happened before this moment. Jesus has already healed a man with leprosy. He's already touched the unclean. He's already started to break the cultural norms of the day, and there's a buzz that's starting to be created around him. As a matter of fact, the news of Jesus was viral before the word viral became an important use of the term, right? It was from village to village and town to town. And the people, as they heard these stories of this man, if they were half true, they knew that they were going to be in the presence of someone very incredible. They hadn't seen anyone like this in centuries around them. As a matter of fact, these people had only heard of prophets, but they have never been around one. They have been dreaming of the Messiah coming, but they'd nearly lost all of their hope of seeing that happen at the time that Jesus came, at the time that the Word of God became flesh and lived among His creation. So as He gathers His crowd on this day, He begins the sermon with an accumulated series of blessings that we just read. The blessing that I want to focus on today comes in that 5th verse. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So that will be our focus for the day. The Greek word that Jesus used here is called praeus. It refers to a mildness, gentleness of spirit. Some might use the word humility to describe meek. It's been translated also as happy, but the root of this happiness does not come from an exterior force, that you've been blessed by things around you. When we talk about praeus, this Greek word, the root of its happiness is from within. It's a God-given gift of joy that is built around the idea of sustaining us. It's a spiritual prosperity, not a prosperity built around earthly possessions or earthly happiness. One of the coolest ways I heard praeus, meekness, defined was with this statement. It's having the right or power to do something, but refraining for the benefit of someone else. I thought this was such a clear perspective for me to understand what meek really looks like. Have you ever been in a disagreement of some kind, or maybe we'd call it a fight or an argument? It could be a physical kind of thing, an emotional kind of thing, or maybe connected to your job in some way. But you had the authority to take care of it. You had the authority to say the word, and everybody else had to jump in line. Everybody else had to just follow your words because you were the boss. You were the one in charge in this moment. Ever been in an argument like this, a debate like this? But instead of choosing your way, you yield to your opponent. Not because it's a loss, not because you didn't have the right or the power or the authority, you did. But you yielded to your opponent, not out of weakness, but because there was a higher purpose. There was a higher cause involved than your own interest. That is a clear picture of what meekness can really look like. James talks about this. The brother of Jesus, in his letter, used the same word, in fact, and it wasn't necessarily interpreted as meek in his letter, but listen to this in verse 21 of the first chapter of James. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save souls. That's that idea of humbly accept is the word praeus. Later in his letter, chapter 3, verse 13, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the praeus, with the humility that comes from wisdom. And Paul challenges us in his letter written to the church in Ephesus, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. for you have been called by God. Always be humble. Always exude praise. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. These are just three examples in Scripture where this word praise is used to help us put together this puzzle that helps us understand what it means to live with meekness in our lives. Humility, kindness, patience, forgiving, valuing the role of everyone and everything in your life. I'm curious today, I want to ask you this question. Are there some people or is there someone who best models this kind of life style in your existence, in your life? Is there someone that comes to your mind, someone that maybe you're related to or you work with or you live near or whatever, that you say, man, when I think of all of these words you're describing to talk about praise, meekness, this person comes to mind. They have strength. They have power. They have wisdom. But when it comes to the way that they live their life, they live with such humility in the midst of that. In all honesty, I think that in our world today, very few people that are in front of us are striving for a life of meekness any longer. Can you agree with me on that? Or can you see that a little bit? Meekness is not a trait that many are aspiring toward. Politically speaking, if you run a campaign that's built around the concepts of meekness, your opponent will steamroller you, right? Because it is dog-eat-dog out there. Many in Hollywood or in the music scene become so full of their own opinions that they often lose touch with reality because they lose all sense of significant connections outside of their own camp. Professional athletes, even Division I sport athletes that we highlight on the television every Saturday, Sunday afternoon right now, athletes often struggle with a sense of humility because for them to be able to outperform against their opponent, they have to play with a chip on their shoulder. There has to be this sense of arrogance within them in order to compete at a high level. Sometimes the best way for us to understand a word that we're looking for, we have to kind of see the examples of the opposite end of the spectrum to see it. So I've given you words of what I think meekness can look like, but the opposite of this can sound like haughty. It can sound like arrogance, proud, self-important, self-confident, not in a healthy way, but in a very unhealthy way. Are there examples now that you can think of in your life or that you've witnessed on television or that you see in the newspaper that are that example? It might be easier for us to find people like that than it is to find people of meekness today. I will say this, there are plenty of examples of people that have risen in power, risen in influence, and they use their power and influence to do good. I know there are many examples in our world today like that. But they appear to be the exception of what our Lord and Savior Jesus was striving for us to become as followers of Christ. I've got a project for you today to think about, something for you to consider as we experience this. And this wall will be available all 3 weeks of this month remaining as part of this sermon series. But if you look over here, to the east, you'll see that we've got a wall set up that says blessed. It's got our logo on it for the series. There's a couple of tables right there that have some cards and some pencils and some push pins. And so after the service and the time that we have in between, that we encourage you to gather together and connect with one another, I want to challenge you to go over to that wall and grab a card and grab a pencil, or maybe you have your favorite pen with you, and you can write down an example of someone in your life that has exhibited great meekness. Maybe they're still living, maybe they're no longer living, maybe you know them personally, maybe you've only read about them, but to you, they exhibit a life of meekness, and I want you to put their name first or last, whatever you'd like to do to identify them, and then share why they exhibit that meekness to you, why they come to your mind, and then just grab a push pin and stick it on to the wall. And we're just going to, over the course of this month, kind of fill this blessed wall with some of the blessings of our life. And by the end of this month, I think it'll pretty well be filled up. It'll be a pretty cool thing. You can go up and read and kind of see what other people are saying. You know, I don't think there was a better example of meekness than Jesus Christ, right? He defined the word for us. Paul reminds us about this in his letter to the Philippian church in chapter 2. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Can you imagine the journey that Christ took to come to this earth? And we had our first snow this week, like I mentioned, and we think, wow, Christmas isn't far off. This is a great season of time. Hopefully we don't get consumed by consumerism during this season or how our house is decorated, but that we recognize that this is the season that we acknowledge the arrival, the first arrival of Christ, this journey from creator to created with all human limitations, from infinite to frail, wrapped in leftover strips of cloth, from being the very Word of God to cooing and laying in a feed trough in a barn, from all knowledge and understanding to the innocence of a child. This was the journey of Christ. This was the journey of one who was all things, who became meek for you and I. And throughout his public ministry, we see that Jesus always defended God's glory. He didn't lash back when he was criticized or misunderstood. When people said false things about him, he exhibited great strength. Twice we see him kind of get amped up in the temple. He did turn over a table or two. Jesus wasn't weak. Jesus wasn't passive. In fact, some of his strongest language was against the religious, pious leaders of the day, just like that was read in our scripture today. Those who demanded the highest seat at the assemblies. Those who demanded to have the longest prayers and have a position within the community. As Brian read that today, I thought, what a perfect setup for understanding the difference between the arrogance of this world and those who are the lowest. A humbled widow who gives just a little, but in Jesus' eyes was everything. This is the great contrast between being arrogant and being humble and meek. Jesus, though he had the right and the power to take over the temple, to become an earthly king, surrendered those rights and surrendered that power. And he dwelt among the lowliest of this world and trusted his Father for all provisions that he needed. And when the time of suffering was at hand for him, he just submitted himself to the will of his Father. He endured the betrayal of a close friend and advisor. He endured the abuse of the murderous intentions of hypocritical leaders. He endured the jeering of an ignorant crowd demanding his crucifixion. He demonstrated meekness to the very end. He cared for the poor and the hungry. He had compassion for the broken and the sick. He gave his time to the outcast children and to those considered unclean. He refused to compromise and raised the bar of expectation for those who would follow after him. He modeled for all of the world what it looks like to be holy. And so this is what I want us to remember from this day. On your insert that you'll get on the way out the door, fill in this blank. I said that just for Marianne's amusement. Meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. This is the picture of our Lord and Savior. He is not weak. All authority rested in Him. Yet, He lived under a sense of control. Now, all of this is valuable for us. All of this picture of seeing how meek Jesus is good for us. But the question I have is, how do I develop meekness within me? Just before Paul had described the path of Jesus that we read from Philippians 2, he mentioned the application of Jesus' meekness in the first 5 verses of this very chapter. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with one another, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interest, but take an interest of others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. That is the application of the journey and the meekness of Christ in our life. When we spend time with Jesus in His Word, we begin to take on His character and His attributes because we're reading about how He behaves and how He loves and how He shows compassion. Then and only then can we really understand the full nature of His humility. You know, in this particular verse, this beatitude that we're looking at, Jesus is quoting, more than likely, Psalm 37 that says, "But the meek will inherit the earth and enjoy peace and prosperity." We've talked a lot today about what it means for us to be meek, but what it really is a blessing, it is a promise to say we will inherit the earth. And it would be simple for us to say then that the meek will get all good things coming to them. If we wanted to interpret this purely from the English language, we could say, well, just be patient and wait on the Lord because then your payday is coming. Inherit the earth, right? It would be easy for us to say to the humble and the caring will one day get that retirement living they're dreaming of. But this is not what it means to inherit the earth once we embrace this idea of meekness. The correct understanding of inherit the earth comes as the meek understand their role in this earth is designed to enjoy it, but not chase after it. There's a difference in those different ways of seeing how you will inherit the earth. People who have a lot, they become slaves to their own possessions. You've seen this. Some of you have given into that trap at times in your life. When you've been blessed with a lot, oftentimes you become slaves to your own possessions. But Jesus says, blessed are the ones that live in humility because while they have all the rights and power to live life how they want, they choose instead to live life as God provides. And in doing so, they live with more wealth that will ever show up in their bank accounts or retirement portfolios. There's more to this life than bricks and mortar. Are you tired of chasing after the next big payday? Are you mad or frustrated that this world hasn't given you what you believe you deserve? Are you confused why your faithfulness has not resulted in life getting any easier? It's easy to fall into that trap, but I want to ask you a real simple question today. What are you living for? What are you living for? The things that we can measure or the holiness that God wants to place within you that challenge you to be less of you and more of Him, to become humble and allow God to do His work within you? What could this world possibly offer you that God hasn't already offered you free of charge? When you take on the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we begin this transformation deep within our soul, not of the behaviors that are on the outside of us, but on the attitudes and the actions that begin inside of us. That's our mission. We talk a lot about this word transformation around here, right? That we experience the transforming love of God. And as we do this, as we experience our mission, we find that in meekness, in humility that puts others' needs in front of our own personal comforts, we find more joy and deeper fulfillment than our large houses and our new cars could ever hope to provide. So again, I ask you one final question. Do you need to receive the gift of God's mercy and grace today? Well, the good news is this, and there's a lot of good news here today. The good news is this, that trying to take on the attitude of Christ cannot be accomplished by your will to do it. by you saying, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to succeed this time. The idea of taking on the meekness of Christ, the attitude of Christ, is actually a gift that God gives to you as you turn your attention to Him and yield yourself before Him. Maybe you've had faith in Jesus for a long time, but you've never found the freedom in that faith. Some call this sanctification. Some might call this holy living. But at the end of the day, it's simply surrendering to God and allowing Him to shape and mold you into the likeness of His Son, who modeled before us meekness and humility. This gift is available to all who call on His name in this moment. It is the strength to find victory over your sin. Can I pray for you and with you? Lord Jesus, my friends have gathered in this service. We have listened to your words. We have contemplated this model of meekness in our own life and in the lives of people around us. We've had examples of blessing flying through our minds today. We've also had examples of people that have not exhibited a lifestyle of meekness. God, this blessing that you spoke of through your servant Jesus is not that we would possess this earth, but that we would be blessed by it, and that we would find a deeper joy and a deeper sense of happiness than any amount of wealth or possession could ever afford to give us. So for those of us who are here today, in our hearts, we just feel lost. In our heart, we just feel alone. In this world, we feel like we're accomplishing nothing. God, would you fill that meek heart with joy and peace? May your words ring true, that as we take on your very attitude on this day, as we take on the characteristics of Jesus Christ today and humble ourselves before our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members, our friends, that we will see a new joy and a new purpose to life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.